Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fun Indian Guy podcast. This is going to be our third satellite version of the podcast where I'm sitting in Dapoli in India, in my hometown, and I'm talking to people from all around the world. Till now, we have covered mostly the Indian part of the world. So also in today's episode, we are going to have a friend, a fellow designer, a graphic designer, Vrushali Somavanshi, who is sitting in Mumbai right now. And we are having a communication and making this podcast for you guys. So it's super interesting. I'm really happy that because of the lockdown, I'm able to do this kind of podcast where you can really reach out to people in any part of the world and have a nice conversation and document it so that we can share it with you. And it's also helpful for you guys to get some value out of this whole conversation. So in today's podcast, we are going to talk about especially the world of graphic design, because Vrushali is a graphic designer. So we will talk about how the graphic industry is in India. And before that, we will also, of course, talk about her educational path, like what she studied and how the education has been, because she has studied in India. So we will take a look at the Indian design school version, or the Indian design school approach towards design. And then we will talk about her professional life, what kind of projects she has been doing and what kind of agencies or companies she is working at. And then we will take a look at or explore the whole situation of this the pandemic and the COVID-19 stuff. And then we will talk about how design agencies or designers have a role to play to bring out companies through this pandemic, at the same time how the designers can help other brands or agencies to work on having better output when you are coming out of the virus situation, because the world is going to look very much different because of also the economic crisis. Things might not be in place, they will be all around the place, but designers have a really good task there to align things. So we will explore that topic with Vrushali. So first thing first, Vrushali, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. It means super a lot.
Hi, CEO. Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to be invited to this. And as I've seen before that you've interviewed some people like Venu Gopal, who was an urban planner and also a policy maker. And also Neha, who is running her own sustainable fashion design firm. So I think in comparison to these really, really high achievers, I am someone who is pretty much on the nascent stage of her career. And what I really want to do through this podcast is maybe give your viewers a little bit of insight on what it's like to really navigate the Indian design scene, you know, as someone who is just starting out. What are the ups and downs? What are the things which are exciting? What are the things that are mundane? You know, just to give you a little bit of an overview of my experience through the industry in the short time that I've been here.
So I know Vrushali for last like 5 or 6 years. I met her while giving the exams for the entrance of design schools in India, and I met her through some mutual friends, and since then I know her and we are in touch because of the social media and Instagram and all those things. So I've been seeing some of her illustrations and all those things on Instagram, but this is like the first time we are into the conversation, especially about design and what kind of work she has been doing. So it's very interesting for me as well to know more. So I'm very like really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I think Suyog, definitely. I think when we talk about graphic design, I think the first thing that people think about is image making, like you said, you know, these really nice illustrations, and you know, the graphic part is something that really attracts people towards it. But I would say that's kind of like a misconception. I mean, I think graphic design is so much more than that, and I think definitely things like image making, illustration are beautiful parts of it. These are things that really are super creative and super fun to do. But I think there are so many other things which are a part of graphic design, which are not really that visible to the public.
So yeah, definitely, because I think graphic design in itself is a very massive and huge field, and everybody is like picking some part of it and going deep or vertical in that domain. So I think in today's episode, we'll also kind of explore that, and even I'll get to know more, because graphic design hasn't been like, I have not studied graphic design and I don't know much about it. I just know the communication and strategy part of it, but definitely it will be very wonderful to know more about it from you. So let's roll the intro and get into the conversation and explore the field of graphic design with Vrushali. So let's go.
Hey people, I'm Suyog, also known as the Fun Indian Guy. I'm a service designer, musician and a filmmaker. I really love to talk about design or creativity with super duper amazing people. And that's why we produce this podcast, so that we can share this fun together.
So basically, Vrushali also studied engineering, as she said in the introduction, and similar to what I did or what other friends of mine did, like doing engineering and then switching to design because we had this creative calling or a bit like creativity stuck, which I personally couldn't explore much in engineering, and that's why I picked design. So I would like to know, what was your take on it? Like, what, how was your, this whole transition from engineering to design and getting into the design school? Because you briefly talked about why you went for design, but we would like to know how you went, like how did you manage to go there, and what kind of options did you have in front of you when you were deciding to go for a master's?
Right. So Suyog, as I spoke about it before, I was always a creative person. And I got into engineering not really knowing what I wanted to do. It was something that was just, I think now it's almost become like a rite of passage before you do anything creative in life. But I think what really happened was that it was something that I sort of got into. I did my 4 years of engineering. I did not enjoy them a lot, but I made some really good friends who also did not really want to do engineering and wanted to pursue many other different creative fields. So I think we all were sort of looking around, and I also had another friend who, Srishti, who you also know, who was also interested in doing, you know, something similar to design. Honestly, at that point, we didn't even know what was design or if there was any field which was viable like this, because we didn't have anybody from our family who was really working in this field, and we didn't really have any friends either who were, you know, doing something like this. So honestly, it was very much later in probably my fourth year that I decided that, listen, I don't want to do MBA. I don't want to work as an engineer. So I really wanted to figure out what I really wanted to do. So I decided that I will give these entrances like NID and you know, SEED. I also gave the entrance for Srishti, and then there are obviously all these other entrances like MIT, and you have Pearl, you have DJ Academy. So there are all these various entrance level exams that you have, which I actually researched a little bit in my last year of engineering, and I understood that, okay, these are the exams that I really need to give in order to get into a design school, and if this is something that I really want to pursue seriously, then I definitely need a design education to understand and really streamline my thought process and get into a zone where I can be employed as a graphic designer. So basically, after that, as you know, we both joined classes, and we all prepared for these entrances, and I got through Srishti, and I was there for 2 years, and I learned a lot at Srishti as a graphic designer. We learned about so many different things. We learned about form, color, typography, visual semiotics, whether it's about creating narratives, storytelling. There was just this world of graphic design that I was really introduced to, something that I really enjoyed. I think finally I was around the kind of people that I really wanted to be around, and I felt like I was really doing something that I was good at, something that I understood, you know. So after that, at Srishti, I was there for 2 years, and I had a really good time. I absolutely worked really hard, and even my final year project, it was a long project that we did with this community that fights sexual harassment, and I was actually doing a lot of things that I really cared about. So all in all, it was a great experience. And by the end of my college, I obviously had to get a job. I really wanted to get a job somewhere that I really would enjoy working, and figuring that out took a while. So I think I was clear about the fact that I really wanted to join maybe a smaller firm, maybe a more boutique firm who does more specialized work, because I really, since this is like the first stepping stone for a young designer going from college to the real industry, I think you need you know, places where you can be given more attention, where you have more personal connect with everyone who is working around you. So I really wanted to work with boutique studio who was doing a lot of specialized work. There were less people, and I decided to work with one, a great studio. And we were doing a lot of work in the art field. We did exhibition design, we did publications, we did a lot of map making, making really interesting products for people to explore their own cities. So there was a lot of interesting work that I did over there. And I was there for almost 1.5 years. And after that, I decided that I really wanted to get experience working at probably a bigger agency and, you know, a place where there were many more people. And it was just like more about getting these diverse experiences. So I shifted on to a bigger agency and where I'm working now. And I'm working with an international retail and brand consultancy right now. So the kind of projects that we undertake over here are of a much bigger scale. They are obviously the kind of brands also that we work with, maybe put in a lot more investment into the things that they do. We are working with FMCG companies, and the scope of the projects is a lot bigger. The teams are a lot bigger, and you know, the kind of environment that I am in is also different. So that's sort of been my journey, right from doing engineering to where I am right now. And still I'm trying to figure out the industry in my own way.
It's quite interesting. Can you tell us more, a little bit more about, because the graphic design is a very huge field in itself. When you were in your master's, what were a couple of streams or what kind of domains you really liked in the whole world of graphic design, or what were your favorite types of, I don't know, what do you call it? It's not projects, but like sectors of graphic design.
Yeah, I think when I had just entered like graphic design, I wanted to be a really good illustrator. I think this is something that you hear very often from graphic designers, because I think it's just a really nice, it's, you know, the most graphic part of our industry is something like, you know, creating comics or creating illustrations for magazines. You know, these are things that really excite you and they look very pretty. So that is something that you start out with. You feel that you really want to do this, and you know, it's something that you find really cool. But I think as I delved deeper into what graphic design really is, what design thinking is, I felt that there were other things that I was more interested in. Like for me, what I am most interested in right now is branding, and also retail design as well. Because I think especially with branding, it really comprises of so many different things. Like if you're doing something for a brand, it's almost like building something from the scratch. Like what are the ethos of the brand? It's not just a logo, or it's not just, you know, an annual report. You know, it's not just that. There are a lot of associations that people make with brands, and there is so much thinking that goes into really creating a brand. So I think definitely branding is something that I'm super interested in, and I think retail design especially is something that I'm really interested in, because when you think of a space, I think it's like a 360 degree view of the brand itself. I think everything sort of comes together in that space, you know, whether it's like a book that you've designed, or there's environmental graphics that you have designed for that space. So, you know, there are so many things that come together in that retail space where you're trying to sell a product, that I think it's really interesting, because the whole experience of it is in totality is, you know, the culmination of everything you've done at every touch point. So I think retail and branding is something that I'm super interested in right now. But definitely starting out, I was more into image making and illustration, and maybe making my own comic someday. But I think as I delved deeper, as I said, I sort of meandered into different things that really interested me. Yeah.
Right, because even in graphic design, your output could be like a very, like if you are doing the whole branding, and if you make a logo for a brand, it looks like just a logo, but there's so much thought process behind it, so many case studies, so many other things are involved, and they are not usually visible to the end customers. Of course, not intended to be, but there is so much going on in every project. It's very interesting, and like there's a lot of study involved. It's interesting also that you said your final project for your master's was about the breaking the taboo of harassment and all. Could you just explain us a little bit more, and also the like a bit of thought process behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my final year project was branding. So I basically was working with Jasmine Patija, who runs Blank Noise. It's a community that has been sort of fighting, raising its voice against street sexual harassment. And through the years, it has also sort of, it's expanded to more than just street sexual harassment. Jasmine was a student at Srishti initially. And I think, there are places around Srishti and around, everywhere where you a lot of times encounter these people, hooligans who will, catcall, and the everyday experience, the everyday silent experience that women go through on the streets. So this was a community that was combating that. It was mobilizing people to fight against something like this, and it was something that really that I really identified with. It was something that I really wanted to work for. I really liked what Jasmine was doing, so I decided that I really wanted to base my final year project on the work that she was doing. And I decided that I wanted to create a brand for Blank Noise, because Blank Noise didn't really have any kind of, to just put it very plainly right now, they didn't have a logo or like the kind of presence or identity that could really help it grow and probably get more volunteers and stuff like that, really help it grow a little bit more nationally as well as internationally. So there were a lot of objectives in terms of that which I had to fulfill in order to increase the visibility of that brand. So that was basically what my final year project was, and I basically gave them like three different identities. I basically, it started out with a lot of research. I took part in a lot of these events that Blank Noise would hold, like Meet to Sleep, or Meet to Sleep is one of the events where you basically go into a public park and you just put down a little bit of chatai and you just sleep on it. You never see a woman just sleeping alone in a park. It's something that is really considered unsafe for women, but I think we are sort of claiming our space by doing this. It's almost like sleeping as a political act. So that was one of the things that I participated in. And lots of these activities that Blank Noise does with women, women of every class, and I participated in those. I did a lot of research. I spoke to a lot of people who were already volunteers for Blank Noise. And that's how I really, tried to understand what this was about. It also led into a lot of insight as to why these things happen, and a lot of conversations around harassment in general. And it really, I think I really grew as a person when I did this project. So I think, in terms of that, I really grew. I think my work as a graphic designer still, since I was just in my last year, I had studied only for 2 years, and I would still say that the work I did at that point, it's still a little raw now that I look at it, but I think in terms of research, I really gave everything to it, and I was quite proud of whatever I did for my final year project. So yeah.
Amazing work. Like, it's quite beautiful and very inspiring to see that how, like, one thing is designers and creative people have ability to also socially impact a lot of issues, and they take their knowledge to do it because it's also easier for them to do it. And when you do such projects in terms of education, yes, they are very educative, you learn new things, but they're also fulfilling at some level. And I really liked your approach. I really liked the kind of project you took or the kind of work you did with these people. It's very interesting. And I just want to add one example here. It's not even directly related, but how you can take art and design to impact some issue is like there was one experiment done where they played, I guess, classical music in the metro station where there were a lot of rates of theft and pickpocketing. And they started playing classical music on the speakers and the rate dropped by a very significant percentage. And that was like, it's just, I wanted to add that because music is a completely pure art form, just like painting, drawing, or maybe illustrating also at some point. But design enters when you use this art form for some cause, with some purpose, with some research, with some reasoning, and you apply it in some context to impact it. So it was also this another beautiful example of using music to solve some social issue. So it's very interesting also to understand the kind of projects you did. And then after finishing your master's, you went into the industry and you started working in industry. As you said, you first worked in a smaller firm and then you went into the bigger firm. So how do you look at the whole graphic design or branding industry in India? And are there any Indianized approaches towards the work? Also, of course, you must be having international clients as well, but do you find yourself in a situation where you also have some Indian inputs towards it?
Definitely, when we talk about the Indian the Indian design industry, what really makes the work we do Indian, I think mainly we are designing for the Indian context. Whatever work that we've been doing, we've been designing for an Indian audience. So everything that we do, we look at it through the filter of how an Indian audience would perceive it, what is what is more easily relatable to them, and basically these are the filters that we use. What is relatable to them? Is this something that they have already seen, or is this something that is quite well entrenched into the visual semiotics of, Indian people? So I think we definitely look at semiotics in that sense as to what is really Indian. For example, if we are designing for an alcohol brand, and we, for example, it's a vodka brand, and we really want it to look Russian, for example. So how do Indians really perceive Russia? What is Russian to Indians is something that we really look at. You cannot look at it in isolation. You can't look at it as just vodka that's coming from Russia, or just because vodka comes from Russia, you cannot have all just those cues maybe on the packaging of the bottle. Maybe you need to really look at what is Russian for Indians. What are the colors that Indians connect to Russia, or what are the visual semiotics that Indians connect to Russia, and maybe those need to be on the bottle for them to really look at it on the shelf and be like, okay, maybe this is really an authentic product that comes, from Russia. So I think it's basically these little filters that you use. I mean, you're designing at, for an international level, but you're really keeping those little filters in mind as to what the Indian audience and how the Indian audience really perceives a particular product. I think that is something that we really use to design everyday things. So yeah, I mean, that's how it is. That's how at least I look at the work that I do. So yeah.
So I really like the example which you gave about like making a product look like from somewhere else in the context where people are looking at it from. And it's very important to understand that context, as context plays a very important role in any kind of projects. So how would you suggest, like, the people who are coming out of university now, or the people who are just finishing the design, how they should navigate in this whole design industry? What kind of companies or projects they should take up, or how is it for them when you're working in graphic design in India?
Yeah, so Yog, I think that's an interesting question, because when I was getting out of college, I felt like I had a very I was very confident about what I really wanted to do, and suddenly I think after maybe a year of being in the industry, it keeps changing for everyone. So I think definitely when you are out of college, you have some idea as to what you are good at, right? So I think you should definitely first seek out those opportunities, seek out what really works for you. Also, I would say that the kind of place that you pick to work at is super important, because it also depends on the temperament of the person who is, you know, going for these jobs. For example, if you are an extrovert, you really like people, then maybe you would love to be in the advertising agency. If you're okay with long hours, then you would probably be great in the advertising agency. And if you're someone who really likes working with a lot of people, maybe, you know, bigger firms is something that would really invigorate you, would creatively challenge you. But if you are someone who really likes to work alone, someone who is, you know, of maybe you just like your own space and you prefer working with less people and you don't want to deal with too many hierarchies and, you know, things like that, then maybe probably a smaller firm is good for you, a boutique firm which really does specialized work and, you know, wins all these awards. That's something, those kind of things are something that you would creatively find fulfilling. So I think the most important part is to really find your sweet spot in the industry. I actually spoke to a lot of people before giving my entrances itself in terms of what it's like for an engineer to really get into the design industry, and a lot of people told me that a lot of firms like having people with a diverse background, because then the way you think about things is pretty different from how designers who have just had design training, you know, think about solving a particular problem. So I think if you are from a different field, I think that's probably a plus point. I think that gives you a diverse view into things, and the way you really solve problems is different from maybe someone who is from a completely purely from a design field. So I think it's good if you have a diverse background. Definitely, that's one point. Secondly, as I mentioned, make sure that the kind of place you are working at is suitable for your temperament. And also, I would say that really find something that you are good at and stick to it. Because even under graphic design, you have packaging design, you have retail design, you have environmental graphics, you have typography, you have publication design. You know, there are so many of these fields, and you will probably deeply discover them as you start working in the industry when you handle actual real client work. So I think that definitely try out different things before you settle onto something, and then you can just probably spend your entire life maybe just designing books if that is something that really drives you, if that's your passion. You know, maybe you could just design covers for your entire life like Chip Kidd, and that could really be the highlight of your career, you know. So I think definitely these things, like finding something that you're good at, finding the right people to work with, and definitely being clear about what you really want in life. I think, yeah, that's something that comes with experience, but definitely try to make every step about finally going more towards something that you eventually want to be doing. So yeah, that's probably what I'd like to say with my very little experience.
But that's very valuable, because you have the experience of, even if it's less, but you have the experience of working in the industry. So it's I think it's very important. As you are talking about the place you want to be at, what is your personal direction, or what is the, like, not the destination, but where do you want to go, or what's your, of course it changes, but what's your idea of going forward?
Wow, that is a tough question. I think for me, it's always been a moving target, you know, like what you really want to do. I think for me, definitely there are some creative goals, which are one thing. And there are also career-wise certain goals, which are probably different from just creative things. I'll give you an example, like maybe doing more personal work is something that I want to do. You know, maybe having that balance of doing client work as well as personal work is something that I'm striving to do professionally in my career as well, you know, having that balance. And professionally, obviously, I want to, if you work in like a normal firm, then you will probably, your designation will change, and, you know, you will obviously climb the corporate ladder if you do well enough. But I think for me, what's important is, for me, having women in leadership roles is something that's really important to me. I have seen people, I've seen women in leadership roles, and I've seen how much that inspires me. So definitely for me, I would also like to probably have one of those positions one day when I can affect other people, or have work that really has that much authority and that much weight that it can inspire other people. And I think it's not just about the work, it's also about creating culture within the industry where you support one another, you really encourage good work, better work, you encourage collaboration within the industry itself. So I think definitely, as I said, personally, that is something that I really want to strive towards. I want to see more women in leadership roles. I want to see myself in a leadership role, if I can say that. So that is something that I am striving towards. I think creating a good culture is something that I definitely feel very passionate about. And also trying to do work that really creates a difference, that makes an impact. I think it's difficult to say work that is timeless, because I think it's a little difficult to create work that is timeless these days, where everything is so fleeting. And, you know, one day something is in and the next day it's not. So I think maybe if I create something timeless in this industry where everything is so, you know, fleeting, I think that would be quite an achievement. So yeah, these are all the things.
Amazing. I really liked the direction in the professional sector you want to get at, right? It's a leadership position and impacting everybody. So first of all, I wish you all the success on that front, and I hope you will get there and you get to experience that kind of position. So yes,
thank you.
That's there. Another doubt which I had, which is also coming from my personal thing, because I'm it's very difficult for me to separate between the professional, as in the money earning work, and the creative projects, because I have so many projects going all over the place. So how do you keep yourself creatively fulfilled, and how do you deal with that differentiation between those two streams?
So you mean monetarily also balancing, and also creatively finding work that drives you? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, somewhat. Because if you say in the professional world, even if it's a creative field, sometimes the task can be mundane because you're trying to cater to somebody else's needs, and it's more towards the client.
Correct.
But then you also have personal projects. So how do you make a boundary between those things, and then how do you keep yourself creatively rolling?
Correct. I think, Suyog, that is something that all designers struggle with initially quite a bit. And I think we all have different ways of dealing with it. For example, there are people who probably have jobs who work in the creative field, but maybe are not doing things that are that creatively satisfying for them, but it pays their bills. So they probably devise their schedules in such a way that maybe 9 to 5 they are doing this job, and after that, the time, whatever they have, they do their own personal work, and they find creative satisfaction through that. And but then again, there are some people who just don't want to be working throughout the day, you know. So they probably only want to work at companies or places where they feel that the work is something that really suits them, is very much in alignment with their interests. For example, if I'm someone who wants to work in the music industry, music is something that I'm really passionate about, then I can just go, you know, maybe be, you know, there are all these creators who make these visual graphics for music videos, and, you know, be an art director for these music videos. So there are so many things that you can do. So I think when it comes to also monetarily trying to balance these things, I think it's really your call at the end of the day. I think it's something that's your personal call. If you feel, you know, because we all come from such different backgrounds. And for some of us, you know, given that design education itself is already so expensive, and you and me are actually quite privileged that we are able to receive this education and are being able to do something like this, where every second to third person is an engineer or a doctor. Not that it's less expensive to do that, but you know, it's still a new field, and I can understand if some people are, you know, struggling to really figure out a way where they are also able to do creative things and also trying to pay their bills. So I think for me, if you ask me personally, then I would say that I probably look at jobs where I am also creatively satisfied, but I am also able to pay my bills. So that is just the way I really look at trying to balance these two things, because you know what happens if you ultimately look at it, there is such little time that you get at home to do something, to do personal projects. There is so much screen time. You're almost spending the entire day in front of the screen. So for me, I'm just saying this personally, it's very difficult for me to maybe pick up personal projects. I'm also a little bit of a couch potato. So for me, it doesn't really work out. So it's difficult for me to do personal projects, although I should get on to a lot more of them. And but so this is why for me it works that I work in a company where I'm also creatively satisfied, but it also is giving me the kind of monetary satisfaction that I need right now. So I think that's how I look at it, but it can be different for different people. If they have a good backing, then maybe they can go for jobs where they are, you know, creatively satisfied, but maybe not getting that much remuneration at that point, you know, maybe work for a year at a place like that. But I think it's different. It's a different journey for everyone. And personally, as I said, I'm already doing a job which is creatively and also practically quite balanced for me, and it's quite well suited for me. So yeah, that's how I do it.
Right. Nice. Yeah, of course, like it will be different for different people. But I liked your approach, and I'll give it a thought. Not like to take your approach, but to also think about what are the challenges for me. But thank you. That was really helpful. So the next thing we would like to discuss on this podcast was, so as we are going through this whole very historic situation of virus outbreak and everything, and soon there will be times when it will hopefully start to reduce and then we'll try to come out of it. So as a designer, or as a designer working in agency, what do you think is role of designers or role of creative people to deal with this, and also to help the clients or help the companies to come out of it as a better possibility?
So Yog, like, firstly, to just give you an overview of what is really happening in the industry, I mean, what I feel or what I'm reading these days accordingly, what's really happening is, since there is obviously there are not many sales that are happening, the whole country is on lockdown, so obviously companies are suffering. So usually what happens in these situations is the first thing or the first investment that a company really cuts out is all the creative stuff that they do. So, you know, whether it is marketing or really pushing a product forward through any kind of campaigns and stuff like that, that is something that is the first thing that a company really cuts down on. I mean, it's trying to keep functioning at a very difficult time. So I think the basic functioning of it is something that it tries to retain at this point. And you know, they're not really trying to invest a lot in creative services right now, the industry. But also what I'm really observing now is, at least through the work that I am doing, is that a lot of companies are also looking at this current situation as an opportunity to really do better, to really show their customers that they can thrive even in such times. So I can see that they are trying to create campaigns which are more rooted in the kind of environment that we are in right now. For example, if you know, there's going to be a lot of change in the kind of messaging that you see, the kind of advertising, kind of designs that you see outside when probably the lockdown is over. For example, you know, you look at a McDonald's or a Burger King, you know, hospitality, these retail sectors. If you look at these fast food chains, maybe the kind of messaging that they will have will not be about just yummy food or delicious food. It will probably be about sanitization and the hygiene of the place, because I think to get the kind of footfall that they were getting previously, they will really have to stress on how clean the environment is, probably in their kitchens, and how much care they are taking into really making sure that the food that you're eating is safe for consumption, and you know, all these kind of things. I think the messaging has to change. So which is why they're actually approaching a lot of creative agencies to maybe tweak the way they are talking to their customers. So the kind of projects that we are also getting right now are more about, you know, what are these proactive measures that we can take? We are really looking at design as a tool to revive the industry, to really revive, you know, their companies, and, you know, how design can really help them, you know, still stay relevant even in difficult times like these. So I think definitely, I think I'm really glad to see that this kind of change is really happening, that design is really getting that kind of importance, you know, the strategic thinking that's going into really creating these brands, making them relevant for, you know, life after COVID. You know, what are these things that can do? What are the campaigns? What are the, you know, so many things can be done which are more rooted in the kind of problems that we are facing right now. So it's great that, you know, we also, as the company that I'm working with, we are also proactively looking at giving ideas to these clients and helping them really recover well and get their return of investment after, you know, after maybe the lockdown is over. So, yeah, I think I'm happy that we are using design as a tool to counter these difficult times.
Right, because as you said earlier, that when there are heavy budget cuts, the first things to drop are the creative projects or the design projects, and then they go into really what works and what doesn't work, and downshifting, downsizing, and all those things. But at the same time, you said there is a huge opportunity of work because the things will change, the messaging will change, the tone of voice will change. So in this, are the brands or are the companies are aware of it and are coming to agencies, or also agencies like you are preparing such pitch or such presentations for companies to understand that yes, this is a requirement and you should probably do it right now or take this design strategy?
Basically, I think it's both ways. Companies are also coming to us, looking for solutions, looking for ways in which people can be brought back to, you know, maybe these retail spaces, and how can they really tailor the experience of their brand according to what's really happening right now. So I think it's definitely also, we are pitching as a company, as we are also having these brainstorms amongst ourselves, trying to figure out with the existing brands that we work for, what are the new different kinds of interventions that we can do for them that would really help them survive this very difficult time. And I think, like, an example that's I can give you is that, you know, Domino's is also delivering groceries right now, I think, in certain places. You know, I think it was in Delhi that they are actually doing this. I don't know, I think they've also started in Bombay, but Domino's, which is obviously a very loved pizza retail chain, they are also, you know, delivering groceries at this time. They have partnered up with, I think, another company, and they are also delivering these groceries because that is something that is really the need of the hour. So I think these are really these creative solutions. This is how maybe a brand can really be relevant for people and really show people that we care about you, and be just more relatable to them, be more helpful to them, give them a reason to maybe order a pizza, but also get, you know, their really important groceries that they really need for their everyday, you know, cooking and all those kind of things. So I think that was a really interesting move by Domino's when they started delivering groceries as well. So we are also looking at these kind of solutions, like what can really, I mean, this is just one example where there is a collaboration between two brands that's happening. But even in terms of a campaign, for example, like if I give you an example, like when you think about Coke, for example, which is like a really loved brand, how can the messaging of this brand change to something that is more relevant for today's times? Like their slogan is open happiness. So how can that really connect to something that we are going through right now? Maybe it's about sharing a Coke with someone you are stuck with in the lockdown. You know, maybe you are stuck with your spouse and you are just sharing a Coke with them, and that's your moment of happiness. So maybe the messaging can be that way, you know. So every campaign that we are running could have imagery like that, where people are looking out of the window, maybe feeling, you know, a little bad that they are stuck inside their homes, but they just break open a Coke from their fridge and suddenly they are, you know, revived. They just feel happy that at least they have, you know, a small bottle of Coke to really keep them, you know, nice and happy. So it's like, so you know how this messaging really changes around a certain product, because it has to be contextual. So if this is what people are going through right now, then I have to create a campaign in such a way that people easily identify with the situation that I'm showing in that particular campaign. So this is how I feel the messaging would change. These are things that we are pitching for, and also companies are coming to us and asking us to find solutions for.
It's nice. Both the examples which you gave, the first one of the Domino's was interesting because it's like repurposing or using your existing infrastructure for a different purpose or for a different use and helping people, which is also interesting. And the second example which you gave with Coke was, yeah, it boils down to that. No, you're not selling product, you're selling an experience. So you are like triggering emotions. So it's beautiful if you highlight that, yes, we are giving you this happiness, and best way to highlight is through the communication, and there your role comes into picture. So it's very interesting. Now I can think about many examples, but I was not looking at it in that perspective before. So yeah, the world looks hopeful because people like you and agencies like you have a bigger task to make it look hopeful. I wish you the best luck and good luck with that. As it's also creatively fun to do such projects. So usually towards the end of the podcast, we ask our guests to recommend stuff like books or documentaries or videos or even music, like songs and tracks, albums, anything usually on the topic you are working on, but you can also take the creative liberty to tell us more if you want to.
Oh, wow. So I am actually quite, I watch a lot of films. So I almost watch a film every day, sometimes two. So, and I'm very much interested in music as well. But if you really ask me what I'd like to recommend is, I think since I've spoken a lot about, you know, being a woman leader and, you know, working for this project about street sexual harassment, I think you can sense that I'm quite a feminist. So I'd probably recommend this movie called The Punk Singer, which is about this punk singer called Kathleen Hanna, who founded the band Bikini Kill, which was, you know, part of these whole Riot Girls, you know, movement that started. So I would probably suggest everyone to watch The Punk Singer, Kathleen Hanna.
Anything else? Any books or any comics?
I think in terms of books, I have quite diverse tastes, so it's not exactly related to what I'm doing. But I think if I want to bring it back to something that I'm doing, there was this book that I had read when I was when I had just started working. I think it was called How to Be a Graphic Designer and Not Lose Your Soul. I think it's a very popular book. I think people know about this. It's by it's by Adrian Shaughnessy, and it's a great book. There are some great tips in this book which I have personally used, and they have worked. So I actually quite swear by this book, and I think it's a lovely book that everyone should read. So definitely read How to Be a Graphic Designer and Not Lose Your Soul by Adrian Shaughnessy, and that's it.
Perfect. And where all can we follow you or see your work or get in touch if anybody wants to ask something? Could also be LinkedIn, Instagram.
Definitely you can follow me on Instagram. Just look, I think my handle is called Artopus, ArtOpus. My full name is Rushali Somavanshi, so just search for me and you'll get my Instagram handle. I'm also on Behance if you want to have a look at the kind of work that I do. And yeah, just hit me up if you ever want to have a chat or any kind of collaboration.
Perfect. I will put all the links down below so it's easier for you guys to reach out to her. That being said, we have almost covered everything, talked about everything, and that's sadly the end of the podcast. So thank you so much, everyone, for watching our beautiful faces if you're watching it on YouTube, or listening to us if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, anywhere. It means super a lot to us if you stay till the end, because there's so much content out there. So it's reasonable that if you don't watch it till the end, but if you're watching it, that that means you stayed till the end. So I'm very thank you for that. And yeah, of course, we have to thank Vrushali for being here to for giving us the time and all the beautiful and amazing valuable discussion. Thank you so much, Vrushali, for this lovely conversation.
Thank you for having me, Suyog. This was absolutely delightful. Thank you so much.
And with that, that's all, guys. I'll catch you in the next video or a podcast. Till that time, don't forget to have fun. And yeah, stay safe, basically. Super. Bye. Ciao.
Bye. Bye-bye.
The Fun Indian Guy Podcast.